Hello and welcome. I'm Jacinta Bolsenbrook from the Grower Group Alliance, your host for Making the Call, Farming Decisions in WA podcast. Now, it's a mini-series exploring how Western Australian grain growers are making smarter, more informed nitrogen decisions on farm. This series is brought to you by the Grower Group Alliance and eight West Australian Grower Group project partners. Each episode, we'll be heading out to a different region to hear from local growers about how they're balancing risk, reward, and investigate how they're making nitrogen efficiency and usage decisions in their farming systems. This podcast is part of the RiskWise National Risk Management Initiative, a $30 million GRDC investment helping growers navigate key decisions around nitrogen management, sowing times, and machinery investment. So, join us as we unpack the thinking behind making those tough calls and the people making them.
My name is Steph Rose and I'm the R&D coordinator at Meganew Irwin Group. Today I'm chatting with Luigi Mreschke, a local CSBP fertiliser advisor. Thanks for joining me on the podcast, Luigi.
No worries, thanks Steph.
To get started, can you tell us a bit about your background and your role in the region?
Okay, I actually am from a farming background. Family used to farm at Lake King years ago, and then circumstances meant that we had to move to Perth. Yes, I was pretty keen in agriculture, obviously, and farming. So I did ag science degree at UWA, and then, yeah, pretty well started with CSBP once I graduated, and have been there ever since. Started in the trial section there at CSBP, and then moved on to the advising or area manager role, which I'm still doing now.
So what are the types of growers you work with and the sort of advice and support you provide around fertiliser and nutrient management?
Yep, pretty well try and work with all the growers that are in the Meganew Irwin Shire in terms of the fertiliser support that we offer them. Yeah, so really our support is pretty well looking at sort of, you know, what rates to apply, which fertilisers to use, what types of fertilisers, when to apply them, everything that goes into nutrient management.
So looking at this season, how's it shaping up compared to last year? And how are the growers feeling now we're coming into harvest?
I think last year and this year pretty well mirrored each other a little bit, except for last year we had a pretty ordinary September, whereas this year we've had a much better September, which I think all round through the whole area, it's allowed the sand plane sort of struggled a bit last year with that quite tight September, whereas this year the sand plane's improved really well. Whereas really the heavier country sort of east of Meganew performed well last year and it's going to perform pretty well this year. So I think most growers are pretty optimistic, even though harvest is only just starting, but sort of initial yield estimates are suggesting that, yeah, most growers, I think hopefully at the end of harvest, they're going to feel pretty happy about what's out there.
And how are they feeling about their nitrogen decisions this year?
Obviously trying to predict yield in season is difficult. And I mean, I guess most guys will probably, once harvest is finished, will probably say they wish they'd applied more nitrogen. But you've got to make these decisions in season and it's hard to know whether, you know, what sort of finish you're going to get to a year. So ultimately, most guys have probably applied as much N as they've ever applied. So really to that end, and given the season that we've had, yeah, probably can't ask them to do too much more than apply the highest rates that they've probably ever applied. So and it's probably fitted in with the season we've had. So ultimately, they should be reasonably happy. But in hindsight, potentially, a lot of guys already made the comment that they maybe would have liked to applied more. But that's how it goes, I guess.
Yeah. And how is that different to last year? And did last year's tight finish sort of make them a little bit more hesitant to put the N on this year?
Last year, there was probably as much nitrogen applied as this year. Not so much the guys on the heavier soil types didn't probably feel the tight spring as much, but obviously the guys on the sand plane did get a little bit burnt in terms of the quality of the grain that they pulled off, particularly in terms of screenings that they had, which probably made them a little bit hesitant this year, particularly with the start being a bit late, similar to last year. But because it was a bit late, a few of them were starting a little bit hesitant. But I think once we started to get the rain, and we had good rain in June, good rain in July, that thing, once you get into that sort of pattern and the forecast was generally fair, reasonably positive for an okay sort of finish to the season, that I think once the guys knew they had the rain in there, the water in the soil, and the forecast was actually not too bad, that they still continued on with applying their nitrogen. So I don't think there was any hangover from last year.
And when it comes to tools like soil testing, NDVI, yield potential models, how are you using these as an advisor to help guide your decisions? And how do you find your growers are using them in their own decision-making?
Well, obviously, we use soil testing, obviously, to predict, you know, what rates of N, sort of NPKS and all those other things that we need to apply. But obviously, soil testing from a nitrogen point of view gives us our supply side of our equation that we're trying to supply to crops, along with the rotations of those paddocks. And then the yield potential models, I use a model, what's called a broken stick method, which was developed by Yvette Oliver and Peter Stone way back in the early 2000s. A pretty simple model that allows me to sit down with a customer, pretty quick punch in what rainfall they've already had, and then try and predict what likely rainfall we are to get. And that sort of gives us a rough estimate of what sort of yield we may be looking at. And then using that, that then gives us our demand side of the nitrogen equation. And then that then allows us to work out the difference between the two and how much N we may need to supply.
Okay, that's great. And are there any other tools that any of your growers are using? Do they use many tools?
I mean, a lot of guys will pull up their NDVI imagery, but that's more just to have a look at the variation that they have in the paddocks. They probably, to my extent this stage, a lot of them probably don't use it to change too much in terms of their applications. Yeah, most of them will do soil testing, and before the break of the season, a lot of them probably don't use any yield potential models. I've got that one because I do get the farmers to try and predict what sort of yields they want to go for, but sometimes some of them tend to be, depending on the season, tend to be fairly robust or tend to be a bit pessimistic. So you try and use that yield potential model to try and either get them to maybe reassess the yield expectation given the amount of rain we've had or rain we're going to expect, to reassess it to make sure that we're sort of capturing the type of season that we're hopefully likely to get. So from my point of view, probably a lot of the clients don't actually use it on their own, but they're probably, you know, when I sit down with them, we try and use all those sort of decision-making tools as much as we can to try and predict that demand side of it as well as we can. In the end, that'll determine how well our nitrogen rates match up with the yield that we actually get. So, and that way, hopefully we get as much out of the season as we can without over-fertilising or without under-fertilising also.
Do you find after harvest, do many of your clients review their nitrogen decisions, or we were discussing earlier how you go about doing those reviews with clients for the next year?
I sort of review pre-harvest a little bit because with my job, obviously we like, with CSPP, we like to get a bit of a forecast of what customers are going to require in the following year. So we sort of need to get a bit of an indication from growers what they're likely to do for next year. And that is the time that I'd sort of do ask a little bit about how they felt their nitrogen applications have gone and whether they would have done anything different or whether there was anything different we need to do. But obviously a lot of that is really, we really don't know how we've gone against the season until the sort of yield and the proteins come off at harvest time. And then we sort of do it a bit on the fly. I generally, when I do nitrogen budgets with my customers, I keep all the assumptions and the rates that I recommend. I file those all away so that when customers ring up during harvest querying why we got that yield or why we got that low protein and that I can actually go back and look at their assumptions and try and assess, is there something there that we missed when we were making the recommendations? Was the recovery of nitrogen better than what we thought, or was there a pool of N that we missed that we didn't pick up through soil testing, or other factors that might have affected the end result that we got, to try and sort of going forward make those assumptions a lot better, so then when we sit down with that customer next year we can make a better informed decision using, you know, updating some of the assumptions that we've used.
And do you find that most growers are pretty happy to do those reviews, or are most just, they just want to put it behind them and get on with next year?
No, most like to have a if they can, like to have a look back and see how they sort of went in terms of determining, you know, how well did we go in terms of working out the yield potential and the protein. I mean, I find it a bit of a challenge because obviously that's you know, trying to predict the type of season and then trying to work out the right end rate to give the farmer obviously the best information about giving them, you know, having the most profitable end rate to apply for that particular season. So, which is a bit of a challenge. I find it's a bit of a challenge. And most farmers like to look back and if they can to look back and see how they went and then whether there's anything we need to change going forward.
Yeah, and when you're relying on the weather, it's quite hard to make those decisions as well.
Yeah, well, it's the weather's the unknown, which is we'd like it to be more known, but and that's probably where, you know, in the future, long range forecasts, if they can get them a little bit more accurate, we then hopefully we'll have some sort of idea as to, you know, whether we need to be going a little bit more than above average or a little bit below average, at least to point us in the right direction in season so that we never get it 100% right, but at least get it relatively right for the season that we're likely to have.
And you've been working in the space for quite a while, especially in this area. How have your own approaches to fertiliser advice and decision-making changed over time? Are there any key lessons or shifts in thinking that have stood out across your career?
Definitely. I think when I first started, way back in the mid-90s, generally most growers were just one application of N, basically applied at 3 to 4 leaf, shut the gate, and that was it. But really in the last probably 10 years now, growers are a lot more receptive to going back not just once, not just twice, but even 3 times to make sure that they get the right amount of nitrogen on. That way they can make most advantage of the type of season that they're having. So that's probably the biggest change. And that was brought about a little bit by, particularly in this area in 2006, 2007, particularly the west side of Mingenew, you hadn't seen too many droughts in its lifetime, and all of a sudden they got hit with 2. And so all of a sudden guys are asking questions about, you know, putting all this nitrogen on very early when we sort of didn't really know much about the season. And so there was, you know, a little bit of work getting done, and a little bit particularly with the MIG group. They had Peter Carberry come over from the eastern states and talking about maybe delaying nitrogen and its effect on managing crop canopies and things like that. So that then, yeah, started to see the advent of guys, you know, going to split applications, and all of a sudden, yeah, and even now pushing up like this year, for instance, where we've got very good rains, and into August, guys, you know, going into the third application, particularly with the advent of things like Flexien and things like that, where you can mix fungicide, that if you thought you're a bit under fertilised for the season, that you could, while you're doing your fungicide, you can also top up some more in. So that, I think, has been the major change.
That's interesting to hear how it's changed over the years. And do you think there's a difference in the application strategies across the heavy land, more clay soils, and the sand plain country?
Probably a little bit, but probably not a lot. Even the guys out on the heavy country now are happy enough to apply, you know, 1, 2, 3 applications, the same as the guys on the sand plain, even though the guys on the heavier country probably don't get the same leaching. But I suspect going forward, and I think, you know, even MIG has got its own risk-wise trial this year looking at N banking, where, you know, a little bit of the risk can be taken out, particularly guys on the heavy country, where if you overestimate your yield expectation and you get caught with a lot of nitrogen not getting utilised in that crop, that we have shown that on heavier country, a lot of that nitrogen can carry through into the following crop. So the risk of over-fertilising is lessened a little bit because we know that a lot of that nitrogen will carry through into the next crop, in which case, as long as you can soil test, measure what's carried through, you can apply at less rates of N the following year, but still maintain a good yield expectation. Your yield potential, depending on the type of season you're going to have.
Okay, yeah, that's interesting. And it'll be interesting to see our N banking trial and see the results come next year and before seeding. On that note, how do you think the risk appetite around nitrogen decisions has changed, especially across growers from different generations?
I think when I first started, obviously, because I've been doing this sort of job for 30 years, that I used to deal with the dads, now I'm dealing with the sons. Back in the older days when I was dealing with the dads, not to put down the dads too much, but I think probably back then they focused a bit more on terms of fertilising to avoid droughts, which sort of kept them sort of hamstrung a little bit in terms of the rates of N that they were willing to apply, because they're sort of a bit worried about drought effects and burning crops off, which, you know, to be fair, back then, because we had still legume pastures and we had longer rotations than we have now, that there was, you know, a lot more nitrogen, better nitrogen fertility in our soils. And so, you know, that, I mean, that was a real thing. Whereas now we're doing, yeah, the crop rotations are a lot longer. There's hardly any, particularly in this northern area, hardly any pastures in, you know, legume pastures in our rotations. A lot of non-legumes now in the rotations too, that background fertility has disappeared. So these days, the young blokes that have taken over from the dads, they don't farm for drought anymore. They probably farm more for the fear of missing out. So they are pretty happy to push hard and make sure that they don't under-fertilise in any year. And that, I think, on the heavier country, given the risk, some of the risk-wise trial where we are looking at, you know, nitrogen carrying through from one year to the next, that does take that risk out a little bit, that they can go hard that year. And if they overestimated a little bit, some of that nitrogen will carry through into the next crop, which case though they can recover that nitrogen in that next crop anyway. So these days, yes, the young blokes are more willing to, yeah, fertilise to probably what the true potential of the crops are with the rainfall that we get.
Yeah, and it's good that they can lessen the risk by having the nitrogen carry over into the next year. So finally, the RiskWise initiative is all about helping growers make more informed decisions. And you did mention some of the trials we've got going, helping them make more informed and evidence-based decisions. From your perspective, how do you see something like RiskWise benefiting growers in the area and advisors like yourself?
Listen, I agree. I think evidence-based decisions are important and using as many tools as we can. I know gut feel is important and still is used by growers, but to have some evidence-based, I guess, information to back up those gut feelings, I think is pretty important. The gut's not always right. And so, you know, if a farmer's feeling that it's going to be a good year, but say a long-range forecast is suggesting it's going to be a dry year, then you'd say, well, the evidence-based suggests that maybe we should be fertilising more for a slightly lower year than going for a too high year in that sort of circumstance. So I think all that sort of information is going to help, and using all the tools that you've got as much as you can will hopefully help you to sort of nudge your way either closer for a good year, you move that way. For a poorer year, you sort of reduce the cost that you're spending on that crop. And in an average year, you're putting on for an average season. So, and I think, you know, if we can get close to, I guess, managing that and getting the right end rates, and particularly picking the right yields, because that then makes it easier to get the somewhere close to having the right end rate on that, so for those crops. So I think anything that's evidence-based, I think, is good and helps growers, I think, justify some of the decisions that they make.
That's great. And I guess even if you're at least looking at all the tools you have available to you, even if you go with that gut decision, you know that you're informed and you made that decision with all the evidence you could have had.
That's exactly it. So it's all about having as much information as you can to make that decision, so that you feel like, you know, you've done your best to give the right end rate for that type of year that you're having.
That's great. Well, thanks for all your insights, and thanks for joining us on the podcast today.
No worries. Like I said at the start, I think most guys in hindsight would have liked to put more in on, but in saying that, I think most guys have put as much in on as they have ever, and at least they recognised that it was a good year and weren't scared to go back and reapply more than just once, which allowed them to get closer to where we probably needed to be for the type of season we've had.
Definitely. It'll be good to see how harvest goes. Thank you.
You've just been listening to Making the Call, Farming Decisions in WA. This podcast is part of the RiskWise National Risk Management Initiative, a $30 million GRDC investment helping growers navigate key decisions around nitrogen management, sowing times, and machinery investment. The Grower Group Alliance Project webpage features more information, news, resources, and updates about RiskWise and the eight grower group project partners involved. simply visit the GGA website at www.gga.org.au. Head to the Activities tab and find RiskWise listed under GGA Projects.